Well, hello there. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie getting underway here on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. And as we say you, we're looking forward to you making this another wonderful program. And we continue with the octave of Easter. So welcome again to all those who are new to the Catholic Church. And we get to still say Happy Easter. He is risen, Debbie. How you doing?
He is truly risen. Alleluia. I love it. I want to sing Alleluia.
Go ahead.
Right? Yeah, really. Yeah, we'll do the whole show on that. But Jerry, I'm doing really well, and I'm super excited because our buddy Rich Jesse is call screening today. Hey, Rich. Nice that you're joining us today. That is so cool. Jeff's on social media, and of course, Michael Birchfield is on the controls. And today we're going to do an exercise, Jerry. I think it's going to be really helpful going into the weekend to kind of prioritize what is really truly our focus and important in our lives. And so we just hear us out for a moment, folks, and just kind of go along with it and then weigh in. Okay. So God forbid, I'm going to say it many times, God forbid there was a house fire. Okay. And you rush to get all your loved ones out of the house and all your pets, you know, your dogs and cats and horses and everybody and rabbits out of the house, right? If you could only take one thing after all that, those important people and pets in your life, what would you take as you're running out of the house? Okay, think about it for a second and then weigh in. You'll see where we're going with this. It's very interesting. Okay, so God forbid there's a house fire. After all your loved ones are out of the house, what would you take? One thing. 833-288-3986. That's the number to dial to get on the show and share what you would grab as you were running out the door.
I'm laughing because as you listed the things that, you know, we just assume are going to be out of the house, humans and pets and so forth. You mentioned horses, and I was going to ask you, do you know anybody who raises horses in their house, Debbie?
In their house, right. I know. I thought about that afterwards. But, you know, in Arizona, we have a lot that have, you know, land, and they have their horses right there. I know. I thought about that. But you know what I mean. When you clear out your whole entire, you know, the land you live on, what would you take? What item would you take? Okay, think about it. It's very interesting. Now, can we just say this, okay? You probably have your phone on you or in your hand, and God forbid there was a house fire. You probably have your phone there, right? So you can call 911, call the fire department, right? So let's just assume everybody's going to take their phone too. I think that's a safe bet.
I think it's a very safe bet.
Okay. So do you want to answer or no?
If I'm like everyone else, I'm never far from my phone, even at night. But yeah, so okay, we're assuming, again, God forbid, if something like a house fire were to happen in your home, and let's say, you know, all of the human lives are outside and safe and okay, and pets and animals and things, and as Debbie said, your phone, because you probably have that with you, then the question after that is, what is one thing, if you could take one thing out of the house and that's all you had time for, what might that be for you? 833-288-3986. 833-288-3986.
Well, I'm chuckling because I actually know somebody. You're talking about having horses in the house. I actually know somebody that has pigs. They have these little pot-belly pigs.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they act like dogs. They put them on leashes and everything. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
But take some pictures sometime.
Yeah. Some people have wild animals, you know, that they somehow, you know, made them domesticated, right?
All right. So you asked me what I would take out of the house.
Yes.
Right?
What would you, besides your phone and Duke, you got to grab Duke. Okay.
Yep. Duke is safe. My housemate Harvey, he's safe. I'm safe. So after that, you know what? A lot of people will say, you know, important files and paperwork and stuff, but also I have the picks that I use to take communion to those at home for Mass, and I believe that's a very sacred thing. It holds mm-hmm. the precious body and blood of Jesus, so I think one of the things I would definitely try and get out would be the picks.
Beautiful. That is beautiful. Michael Birchfield, our producer, said he would grab car keys. Yeah, that's a good a good thing. Yeah, get the car out of the garage. Yeah, that's really good. But you know, you just made me think about that. See, I would have to grab my purse because like everything's in my purse. I would have to grab my purse, and that's interesting because I have religious stuff in my purse. So that's, but now I just wanted to say something really quickly. I have religious blessed art all around the house. So it would be difficult for me to run around the house and grab everything off the walls and run. So I would have to just, you know, pray that they, you know, would survive the fire, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe even miraculously stop the fire. You never know.
Yeah, well, that's happened. How many times have we heard about churches that burn almost completely down, and the tabernacle is not even touched by the flames? It seems like, you know, miraculous sorts mm-hmm. of things like that. But again, we are looking to you, the Take Two family, to take this topic and run with it into the weekend. We are not yet to the weekend. It's Friday. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. 833-288-3986. The one thing, if you had to pick one thing, maybe you can cheat and mention two if you want, that you would take from a house fire. This is assuming all human lives and pet lives and everything, everybody's safe. And you had just that little bit of a couple of moments there to find and take something out with you. What might that be? Mm-hmm. 833-288-3986.
And maybe you experienced that tragic situation of a house fire, or you know somebody who went through a house fire. Please, call us and share with us what that was like to, you know, 1 minute you have all of your stuff, right? All the things you care about, the memories, the pictures, everything. And the next minute it's all gone. Could you share with us about that? I remember growing up, Jerry, in New Jersey, and we heard of a family. There was a house fire and several of them perished in the house fire. And I remember driving, my girlfriend lived down the street from there. And I remember always driving, my mother driving past the house, and she'd always stop for a second. I get teary-eyed. And she'd say a prayer because they all, I guess there was some kind of gas leak or something, and they all died in their sleep. And there was many of them. I think there was like six of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very tragic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as the lines fill up, Rich Jesse is screening calls today, so you will get to talk with him. Monica's coming on the air first in just a moment. We have others as well that are being screened, but two lines are still open. If you want to take up one of those, 833-288-3986. God forbid you ever suffered the experience of a house fire. All human life, animal life was out of the house, and you had time to grab one thing. What would that be? Let us hear from you.
We're asking you the question today before you go into the weekend, and we always say this, don't get started with your weekend yet. We need your help. There's one open phone line, so if you're feeling prompted by the Spirit to share your thoughts about this, we're asking the question of, God forbid there was a house fire. We say it so many times, God forbid, right? There was a house fire. You got all your loved ones and your pets out of the house. What else would you grab quickly? What's the first thing you think of to grab? That's what we want to know. Okay, so weigh in on this. Oh, there goes another line right there. 833-288-3986. And Jerry, may I please just say this, because this is new for me, WTN Publishing. A holy hour with Mother Angelica. Oh, I love this. In 29 brief and brilliant chapters, Mother guides us with scriptural references and her own personal prayers, meditations, and intentions. This book is a beautiful accompaniment to prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament and at home as well. So you can take this. Okay, you take this book with you to the Blessed Sacrament during your holy hour. I love it. A Holy Hour with Mother Angelica also contains litanies and novenas, as well as Mother's teachings on topics such as joy, trusting in God, love and reparation, resisting temptation. Oh, you got to love it. So please, pick up your book right now. Holy Hour with Mother Angelica. It's available now at EWTNRC.com. You buy Catholic, shop EWTNRC.
Okay, sounds like a great resource.
Yeah.
All right, we are going to go to your phones about the one thing or a couple of things you would take out of your house if you had the opportunity. God forbid, again, there would be a house fire, but this mm-hmm. is, you called this at the beginning of the show an exercise. And what is the lesson that we hope to come out of this?
Well, you know, both of us, we both have standtalltoday.com. You can visit us there, standtalltoday.com. We are very big into life coaching. And, you know, you practice some of these things, these scenarios, these exercises, so that you can have a deeper insight about yourself and about those around us. And it helps us to have those kinds of aha moments, or maybe a new understanding. And it helps us grow spiritually. You'll see how it works. And that's what this exercise is all about, Jerry, in hopes that we can learn and grow.
Okay, 833-288-3986. We are going to go to your calls right now. Monica is first in Bel Air, Texas, listening on EWTN.com website. Hi, Monica. Welcome.
Hi, Monica.
Hi. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. How are y'all?
Awesome. I'm good.
Good.
So in regards to house fire, actually, I went through that in 2013. My family's house completely burned to the ground. And so going through the experience, everyone thinks, oh, what would I grab? We just wanted to get all of the children out. I live in a big family, 13 kids, and 10 of the kids were at home at the time. And we all got out, thankfully, everyone, including the baby. The only thing we grabbed was blankets because it was January in Virginia. It was freezing, but the firefighters actually grabbed something for us. They grabbed a bunch of photo albums they found in my parents' closet while they were trying to get to the fire. And so we actually were able to salvage my my parents' wedding photo and a bunch of photos from their wedding.
Oh.
And so, yeah.
So we're so sorry you went through that. What an experience. But did I hear you correctly that you said the firefighters grabbed stuff as they were fighting
yeah.
the fire? Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Talk about heroes.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. it was pretty amazing. And I was super happy that we were able to get my parents' wedding, like the photo people take when mm-hmm. it's just two of them.
Right.
So we still have it, even though we thought we would have lost it.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I'm curious, Monica, just briefly, having never been through that, but I've imagined if that were to happen before, how I would feel after you said the house burned to the ground and, you know, all of your belongings and your possessions, your life was there. I mean, what's the feeling, you know, as you, I guess, stand there and watch your house burning or in the days and weeks after that?
It was pretty heartbreaking. Thankfully, you know, we were in below freezing weather, but a police car got there pretty quick, and all me and my little siblings all piled into the back there to stay warm, and my older siblings and my mom stayed outside. It was pretty devastating, especially when we saw one of the walls completely collapse. No one was inside. The firefighters were just working on it on the outside at that point. But it was pretty hard. We lived in hotels for a few weeks after that, and then stayed with family and friends for a few months until we got back on our feet.
Wow. Well, how fortunate you were to have family and friends. Yeah. You know, I think about those folks that, you know, you see them on TV after there's the local news or something of that nature, and they mm-hmm. interview them and they say, how do you feel? And people are like, they look so shocked and they don't know where to go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
My heart just
that's
breaks.
Feeling.
Right. Right. Wow. And so having gone through this, do you put things in place in your house, like fire safe, what do you call those things? The safes, you know, where you put,
Yeah, actually we had one, but the fire was so big, it actually melted it. So make sure you get a good one if you want to get a fire safe. Because this one was built into, it was a very old home that we were living in. And so I'm sure it was an old safe. I think that nowadays I just kind of, my main goal will always be just to make sure to get everyone out. And I know my family's very blessed that no one passed away. No one was hurt really.
Mm-hmm.
Very little smoke intake. You know, we all got out safe and sound, and
thanks
that's all
I've
done
for. Yeah, thanks be to God for that. Well, beautiful call, Monica. Thanks so much for joining us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And please don't hesitate to call us again on another program. We appreciate hearing from you. Happy Easter to you and yours, Monica. God bless you.
Thank you, Monica.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Now you can get started with your weekend. Okay, Stephanie is up next in Baltimore, Maryland. Sirius XM app is the way you're listening. Hi, Stephanie. Welcome.
Hi, how are you both today?
Doing well. Thank you very much.
Okay, I want to thank you for your ministry because I listen to it. I try to listen to it every day, but some days I'm in church at this time, so it's not conducive to hear you all the time, but I do like what you do.
Thank you.
Actually, now that I think about it, I told the screener that I would take out two things, but I have a son, a grandson, and a daughter who live with me, so I would make them aware. These words you got to grab when you leave. But I would take my Bible, and it's a study Bible, and I would take the wedding picture of my mother's parents because they are the ones that raised me when I was growing up.
Wow. Wow, I can only imagine the sentimental value that has for you, Stephanie. And yeah, it's beautiful. What a couple of great things. The Bible, of course, yeah. You mentioned it's a study Bible as well. And for that reason, I'm sure it's probably marked up. You've got it, you know, notations and all kinds of sorts of things that you've learned and studied and read in that Bible. So yeah, beautiful, Debbie. Bible and that wonderful wedding picture of her grandparents.
Yeah, you know, those things, I mean, cannot be replaced. And I agree with you grabbing them and going. And the thing about it is, Stephanie, they're probably within view, right? You know where they are. It's not like you have to search through something, right?
No, actually, the picture of my grandparents is above my bed, and the Bible is right next to it.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So grab and go, God forbid, right? Yeah. Wow.
Exactly.
Stephanie, that's precious. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. But the thing is that I sent you a text message that you'll probably find that when you talked about people being named, my mother had pneumonia 10 days before I was born, and her name was Stephanie. And my mother promised that if both of us, because they didn't think either one of us would live, that she would name me Stephanie if I was a girl. However, there would have been an issue if I was a boy because my father, my grandfather, my godfather, my father-in-law, my brother-in-law are all Josephs.
Wow,
so it was like that wasn't a name that was going to be given to a boy at that point in time. But thank you. You know, like I said, you are just so wonderful with what you do.
That made our day. Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, it's your show, Stephanie, you and the Take Two family. So hopefully together we put a program on the air with the show team and the affiliates that is a blessing and uplifting to all who listen. Thank you, Stephanie, in Baltimore. God bless you and happy Easter to you. This episode of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, we're talking about, God forbid, a hypothetical house fire. All people, animals are out, everybody's safe, and you had time to grab just one thing, maybe two if you want. What would those be? 833-288-3986.
Now you got me laughing into the weekend. And the horses. Get the horses.
And get the horses out of the house. What do they say?
Out of the
barn.
Get the horses out of the
barn. 90% of accidents happen in the home, so never drive your car in the house.
Okay, you're hilarious.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
What do you call it? What do you call it when you get kind of loopy? Punchy. Punchy.
I'm punchy, yeah.
Yeah, a little
it's
loopy
Friday.
Here, but yeah.
Okay, Katie is up next, and Katie is in Decatur, Illinois, Sirius XM 130. Did I get your city right, Katie?
Yes, you did. Yep.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Well, at first, when you said it, I was like, oh, I'm going to be very pious and say I would take my statues of Our Lady, and I just got a Divine Mercy statue yesterday and be like, oh, I grabbed those things. But then when I thought about it, I'm like, no, I wouldn't. I would grab pictures. You know, I'm not saying that those statues and those pictures and, you know, the sacramentals that we have aren't important. They are. But they can be replaced. You know, I bought one yesterday. I can go back to that store and get another one if I needed to. But the pictures of my kids growing up and my family members, and especially pictures of my mom who has passed on now, I can't get those back. You know, those are important. Those things that you cannot replace. I think that would be the first thing that I would go to. You know, with the exception of all the pets and the kids, mm-hmm, you know, of course. Sure. But yeah, it's the pictures, because those are memories, and you want to hold on to those things.
Absolutely. Katie, first and foremost, thanks for calling the program. We appreciate that. And we understand, absolutely, your thought about taking, you know, the Bible and statues and holy things like that. But like you said, and I know you mean no disrespect, I would probably look at it the same way. It's like, what is special? What has sentimental value? What, like you said, what cannot be replaced? And like you said, the pictures, the photo albums, things like that. And so, yeah, I think that's probably a good choice. Debbie, what do you think?
Here's what's interesting about it, Katie. This is what I did recently because of that exact reason. I thought, I have my mother was big on just piling pictures in shoe boxes, you know, just a lot of them. Right. So I put them all on the computer, and I backed them up on the computer. So I have pretty much most of my kids, and also my birth family growing up, I have that all backed up on the computer. Just, you know, God forbid I lose the actual photographs.
Right.
You know,
they're so important, you know.
Well, they're just, you so, know, they're, seems, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I think that I've seen interviews of people who have lost everything in fires. And what I have heard most is that most people are upset about losing the pictures. They don't really care about anything else. It's the pictures that seem to be most heartbroken over.
Right, right. And, you know, the reason, I believe, is because those memories, whether good or sometimes not so good, you know, they're it's what we have. It's how we identify and how we, you know, our legacy and our life and our history, right? And so there's so much richness there that I think that, you know, photographs do mean.
Well,
so
they represent loved ones in our lives, people who have been special to us and still are, you know, after they pass, if they're deceased. So. Yeah.
Very true.
Great. Yeah, great job, Katie. Anything else?
Well, I just wanted to say real quick, you know, I think, you know, you talked about no disrespect to the sacramentals, and that's true. I think for me, it would be more disrespectful to let some of those pictures go, you know, to them. For some reason, I would find that disrespectful to think that, you know, they're fine. They don't need to come out. You know, we don't need to save those. It would almost be like, you know, disrespecting a memory of a loved one. I could be wrong, but just sitting here thinking about that, that's what I think.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah. No, I think you're making a lot of sense, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you came into my house, Katie, Jerry knows. I mean, it starts out in the outside entrance of the house, and I have sacramentals from the moment you enter the house, every room in the house. So it would be literally impossible for me to run around and grab everything. And they are blessed. And, right. you know, technically, if you're going to dispose of a sacramental, you can burn it. So if you look at it like that, I wouldn't think it would be disrespectful. Right, Jerry?
No, I don't think so at all. No.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Katie.
Yeah. Thank you, Katie. Thank you so much. Okay, now you can get started with your weekend.
Okay, thanks, Katie.
833. I feel like Oprah. You get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Sorry. Go ahead.
833-288-3986. If you had a house fire, God forbid, all the people and, you know, living things, people and pets and animals all out of the house safely, what might you grab to take out with you? Patricia on YouTube says, I take a picture of my mother who recently passed away. Oh. Michael says, my tablet and my phone. And Patrick says, I would take my rosary since my cell phone has my pictures. All right, so nice. Got an open line. If you have something you want to share about this topic, please feel free to do so on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, we're asking the question today, God forbid there was a house fire. We keep saying God forbid. We have to say that multiple times. But if there was, well, this is just an exercise we're doing. After your loved ones are out of the house, what would you grab and run? We want to know. Okay, so call us, 833-288-3986. And we got some clarification on if you want to send us text messages. Here's how you do it. You text the letters EWTN to 55000 and then wait for a response, okay? Once you get that response, then put in your name, how you're listening, and your comment, and we'll get the entire thing. Okay, so that's if you want to text message us. And also, you can comment on YouTube, Facebook. You can email us, take2@ewtn.com.
All right, back to your calls. Twin Falls, Idaho is where we go next. Holly is listening on Salt and Light Radio. Hi, Holly. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for your call. So what are your thoughts on this?
The first thing I would grab is my fiance's power charger. A lot of people don't think of accessibility tools in those situations and how important it is for them to be independent and be able to get around. And if his chair was out of here without the charger, it probably wouldn't last more than a day.
Oh, but you know what that tells me, though, Holly? Look at the love you have for your fiance. You know, you're not thinking of grabbing something for yourself or something of a memory. You're grabbing what is a necessity for your fiance. I think that just goes to show the love you have for him. He needs to hear this, okay? You need to play this broadcast for him.
He's sitting right here.
Oh, good. Hello. What's his name?
Dave.
Hi, Dave. Dave, you're so blessed. You have Holly. That is so awesome.
Yeah, I've been in a dark place till I met her.
Wow, how beautiful. Well, just from what Holly said, Dave, it sounds like you've really found a wonderful wonderful lady there, and we will certainly keep all of you in our prayers, especially you, Dave, as you have to be in that wheelchair, it says on our call screen here, full-time. So, yeah, way to go, Holly. Great comment. Very unselfish, like Debbie was saying. Selfless, absolutely. Thank you, Holly, for the call. And Dave.
Thank you. Okay, now you guys can get started with your weekend. Have fun. Okay, Mary Ellen is up next in Shirley, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Look at the Station of the Cross go. I think we have like 4 or 5 lines lit up from the Station of the Cross. Hi, Mary Ellen. Welcome.
Hi. Oh, thank you. Listen, we had a devastating house fire when my boys were little. And you know, I always had great devotion to my guardian angel my whole life, the Blessed Mother, and, of course, the Sacred Heart. But when we were trying to get out of that house, I felt the hand of God on my shoulder. God the Father. It was the Father that got us out of that house in one piece. And there was nothing wrong. And when the fire chief came, he always comes to night fires because of the fatalities. He just looked at us and said, this never happens. Somebody should be dead. Or in a burn unit. So, but as I was exiting my front door and I had my son in my arms, I put my left foot back up into the living room to get my Blessed Mother statue. And then I said, no, I can't do it. I can't risk my life or my kid's life. And you know, that statue didn't get destroyed. It's pretty beat up. Her finger's missing, you know. But I still have it. I couldn't get it because it's metal, so it didn't melt or it did get pretty blackened. But I got some of it off. But I love. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to tell this story because whenever I think of the fire, which as years go by, it's less and less. I just thank God from the bottom of my heart every day. Thank you so much for sparing us, and I got a new home. Compliments to the insurance company. But I just thank you for giving me the opportunity to praise God through this great miracle and to thank him and let people know we always have to be prepared to die, not just spiritually, but emotionally. We just have to be ready. This is not our home. Right. And the fire taught me that, and I've kept that with me. I'm not afraid to die any day of the week. Take me now. I'm ready. So I just wanted to say that. And now I have a different statue I love a little more, and I would grab her.
Oh, Mary Ellen, you know, thank you. But thank you for sharing from your heart. And thank you for recognizing the hand of God and recognizing, you know, you said
the Father. Yeah. The Father. That's why I keep saying it's the Father. we don't realize that he's our father.
Right, right.
Like our true father.
Right.
So but, anyway, but, I won't take any
no,
more
no,
of
no,
your time,
no, no, no. Before you go, Mary Ellen, you also said about your guardian angels. And that is so true. You know, the mm-hmm. more we recognize our guardian angels and the work that they have been given by God himself to do in our lives, right? They're there to guard us and guide us in all our ways. You know, that is so true. I actually know of a person, I was very close to this person, that literally their guardian angel, she feels, woke her up right before her and her husband could have possibly perished in a carbon monoxide, from...
Oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And so...
Yeah, no, they'll do it. And, yeah, the guardian angel, I have terrific devotion to them. I pray to them every day. And at night, I look up at the stars, even if it's cloudy, and I always say, dear angels of the stars, protect us and thank you for all you do for us.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Because
beautiful.
We have to thank our angel as well. We can't just keep begging. I always want to say thank you as well.
Right, right. You're beautiful.
Oh, thank you. If you knew me, you wouldn't say that. But hey, Debbie, I'm from New Jersey. Where are you from?
Oh, wow. I'm from West Caldwell.
Oh yeah, now I'm from the Jersey Shore. But
lucky. Yeah, I used to go vacation
yeah, well.
There.
A lot of confession, let me tell you, when you live at the Jersey Shore. When you grow up there, I should say.
Yeah.
So, all right, Debbie, I'm gonna have hang and I thank you so much for this topic, but
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
God
and have
you.
A beautiful weekend, okay?
Thank you, you as well. Bye bye.
Okay, call us again. Thank you, Mary Ellen.
God
thank
bless
you.
Mary Ellen from Shirley, Massachusetts. Yeah, I just want to add a quick story here that I experienced, and this is when I was helping some people trying to start a Catholic radio station in a little bit north of San Francisco, and they didn't have a lot to pay me, and I didn't have a lot to live on, so they arranged for me to stay in a rectory with their parish priest for a couple of months or something like that. And I remember I went to sleep, and then I woke up and I heard this. It sounded like it was raining. You know, it's kind of sort of a spattering, crackling kind of sound. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was raining. And I thought, well, no, this is a beautiful day and there's no rain in the forecast. So I went over to the curtains and I opened it up, and the corner of the house where the bedroom that I was sleeping in had caught on fire. Yeah. And so I immediately, I went and woke up the pastor, and then he called 911. There was another priest stationed there, but he wasn't in the house at the time. But mm-hmm. I absolutely credit my guardian angel with very possibly saving my life at that point. Mm-hmm. And what it turned out, it was they had a parish event of some kind with, you know, a festival or something and barbecues, and they put some hot ashes in the trash can, and they weren't completely extinguished.
Extinguished. Yeah.
That's, I think, what it was determined what the cause was. But boy, you come away from something like that, and you do thank your guardian angel, and you do thank God that, you know, he yep. spared you in a situation like that.
Yep, absolutely. Wow. Okay, so we're going to go back to the phones again to a Station of the Cross listener, Carolyn in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Carolyn. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much. And, oh, I love this topic. And the first thing I would grab is my cell phone. And the reason for my cell phone, not only do I have pictures on it, but every one of my books that I'm using is on it. My podcast for Bible in a Year is on it. I'd be able to still continue all my prayers so long as I have my cell phone. When something happens to my cell phone, I am lost because I'm the one that spends hours in adoration, and I use my cell phone with my prayers while I'm sitting there. And it's just such a beautiful way because I used to come with bags of books, and now, you know, all I need is a notebook and a pen with my cell phone, and I'm good to go.
Right. Well, that is beautiful, Carolyn. And just think about so many of the other uses that we have for our cell phones. In your case, you're talking about all of the prayers and devotions that you have on there, which I do and so many of us do as well. But that phone could come in handy for a lot of other things. Say you didn't have time to call 911 while you were in the house, you'd have your phone and be able to do that once you were out of the house. Or if you had family or friends, neighbors, some people who might be worried about you, at least you have your phone to be able to assure them that you're okay. So, yeah, it's great. I think it's a great choice.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Carolyn, for sharing that with us and reminding us that we can put a lot of our things on the phone so that we don't feel like we have to, you know, have, you know, hard copies of everything floating around. That's good. You just made me think of something, Carolyn, because I'm very old fashioned. When my dad always says you should have like a manila folder with all your important documents in it, and you know exactly where it is, and you grab it and go if you have to. But I started thinking as you were speaking, Carolyn, I could just take pictures of all that and put that on my phone. Right? What do you think?
I've done that because I actually lose papers very easily.
Yeah, the phones. Well, you know, God bless technology. It definitely has made our lives easier, right, Carolyn?
Absolutely. And I would, you know, years ago it was, are you kidding me? Have a phone attached to my hip? And now, you know, I just put it on Do Not Disturb when I'm in church or I go to adoration. I, you know, if I'm in prayer, I don't want to be bothered, and I'll call you later.
Love it.
Thanks for the call, Carolyn. Appreciate it so much from Boston. Yeah, I take, I mentioned this on the show before, I take my phone with the ringer off into my holy hour because I start that off by listening to some worship music. You know, mm-hmm. So I'll have these little earbuds that I put in my ear and I'll listen to a few songs. And then as the prayer time goes on, and I'm praying or reading the Bible or praying, meditating or whatever, I hear the phone vibrate and there's that temptation to reach, I wonder who this is. And then I have to tell myself, wait a minute. You know, what am I here for? You know, I'm here with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so it takes a little bit of discipline not to grab that phone and, you know, see what the text is or the email or the phone call.
It's Friday, folks. Okay, I just have to say this. Okay, so I've been the one to ring Jerry's phone as he's in adoration. And Jerry, you have answered the phone for me. And then I say, where are you? You said, I'm in my holy hour. And I said, okay, what do I say, Jerry? I said, say hi to Jesus.
Say hi
and
to
what
Jesus.
What do you say back to me?
You say, tell him Debbie said hi. And I say that Jesus said to you, Debbie who?
And I laugh every time you do that. And
if there's no one around, the reason that I will answer a call from you is because maybe it's, you know, something important about the show,
right.
Or ministry, something going on like that.
Right.
But no, maybe I won't answer anymore now that we talked about this on global radio.
No, but I can't. No, I think that's good. You're very quick. I mean, it's very quick. It's like a 10-second call, but I crack up every single time. I said, tell Jesus I said hi. Say, Debbie who? Okay, it's Friday, folks. I'm sorry. This is how we get on Friday. Okay, Maureen is up next. She's driving through Michigan. Maureen, I hope you're pulled over safely to the side of the road or you're on Bluetooth. Ave Maria Radio is the way you're listening. Hi, Maureen. Welcome.
I'm on Bluetooth driving safely. Thank you.
Good.
Okay, good.
I had a house fire, but I don't know if I agree with the God forbid part. You know, God forbid you have a house fire. I was living in Ionia. My house was in Newport. It was about 2 hours away. And I had a house sitter, and there was an accident in the kitchen, and so a fire started. My neighbor heard my house sitter scream because of the burn. He came running over. He turned off the gas and the electric immediately, or there would have been an explosion. And that would have been, there could likely have been loss of life. So I get out to my phone after work, and it's blowing up with texts and pictures. And I'm looking at these pictures. Why are there firefighters in my house? Because it didn't register. But when I called my neighbor, he told me, I said, I don't know what to do, because I was in a little bit of a state of shock. And he said, call your insurance company. Okay. And so it's that kind of... what do I do next? He knew what to do. He told me what to do. But the neat part about it was I'm insurance poor, so I always do replacement value. So I got a lot of stuff replaced because it was considered a total loss, even though not everything was damaged. But Benedict Groeschel came on in some type of meditation at that time, and he said that the priests and monks go through the monastery every year, and they give away, and absolutely need, they give to the poor. So what ended up happening after that was I probably gave away two-thirds of what I owned. And so it was a very purging experience for me.
So you're sharing with all of us that this, as we look at it when we see it on TV or on the news, could be very tragic as we're watching it. It actually turned out to be a quite positive healing and a growth experience for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. What a great perspective. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, Father Benedict helped it a lot. It's like, oh, this is just stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's all it is stuff.
Yeah, and you know, priests and religious like him and many others, you know, this is a great exercise for them. They, of course, they go into their religious vows with, we call it detachment, you know, poverty, chastity, and obedience. But this whole notion of detachment, Maureen, you're really giving us a great example of this right here, because we can get very, very possessive of the things that we have and maybe think that they are sort of ultimately important in our lives. But you've learned and you've shared with us now that, you know, especially with the Father Groeschel comment there, that, you know, what's really important, I think. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Maureen, for that.
Yes, thank you, Maureen.
You betcha. Yep.
Okay, we're going to pray that the guardian angels are all around you as you're driving through Michigan, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. I want to mention quickly before we go back to the calls, we have a lot of social media too. Program at Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. It's Conversations with Consequences. Dr. Grazy Christie chats with Joan Frawley Desmond of the National Catholic Register about some alarming news out of my state, California, of course, with more radical ideology infiltrating public schools and why Catholics should be concerned. And they also chat with Focus missionary Anthony Cirillo about fellowship on campus in the era of COVID and his mission to help them not only survive, but thrive. And Father Roger Landry also offers an inspiring homily for Divine Mercy Sunday. So that's Conversations with Consequences tomorrow, Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on many of these same EWTN stations.
Okay, so I'm getting text messages saying they really love our sense of humor and they would like to see more of it. Trust me, folks, you don't want to see more. We're so goofy, aren't we? I think we're goofy, but it's a fun goofy.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So so people are ready for a nice, light weekend. That's what I'm sensing that. Hey, we're coming up on Divine Mercy weekend.
I know. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Very powerful. I love this weekend. Okay, back to the phones. I got to stay focused here. It's Friday. Okay, Rob in Greeley, Colorado. Catholic Radio Network is the way you're listening. Hi, Rob. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I hadn't thought much about this until you posed the question, but something came to mind very quickly. I guess to be very brief, about 8 years ago, our house was broken into, and I had some watches. I'm 70 years old, so over the years, I've gotten some watches, and I decided to buy a case for them, and I put it in. When they took the watches, they didn't take the case. Well, about a month ago, so this was 8 years ago we were broken into, I saw the case, and I went to give it away. But over the years, I have a collection of rosaries, so I refurbished that box, and it holds the rosaries, and I do use them, but they have a lot of sentimental value. I have a rosary of when I was a child growing up. I have one from my grandmother. I have one from when we visited the Vatican in Rome, EWTN. So every rosary I have could tell a story. So now that they're all in one box, I thought, well, that would be an easy way for me to take them out if I had a fire. That's what I would take out.
Well, you've just given me some inspiration, Rob, because I'm sure all of us probably have very special rosaries with very, very special meanings. And I've got one here and there and everywhere throughout my house. And sometimes I even hate to say it. I'll see one and I kind of go, what was that from again? You know, who gave me that one? How was that one blessed, you know, by the Pope or something? But you've really done a great job in keeping track of all of those and given me the inspiration to maybe do the same. What do you think, Debbie?
I have all of my special rosaries in a special place, Rob, and mine are right near my purse. So if I grab my purse, I can grab everything. So I agree with you. You should get all those. Yeah, get all those special ones that have, like, I have a John Paul II one. I mean, just really special ones with some relics and stuff. And so, yeah, I totally agree. You don't want them, you know, you don't want them spread out all over the place, and then you try to search for them because that, you know, that's time you got to get going, right?
Well, if I can quickly add, and the reason this came to mind, I decided because of my age, I have four children, I am actually documenting. I'm taking a picture of each rosary, and it was given to me. I have a picture like of my grandmother, and I'm going to put a book together. I have about 17 rosaries that I can pass on to them. So when they do get them, they don't look at it and just see 17 rosaries. I'm going to put the story of how I got each rosary in that book.
Nice.
Wow, fantastic. What a gift. What a gift that'll be to them, mm-hmm. Rob. Thank you very much. You're a gift to us today by calling the program as well. We appreciate that.
That's a great idea. I'm going to do that too, Rob. That's a great idea. He's brilliant. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks, Rob. I'm going to get a couple of social media comments here on Facebook. Sure. Sue is watching the stream on Facebook. She says, definitely my security pillow. I've had the same pillow and pillowcase for 40 years. It goes everywhere I travel to, even Europe and the Holy Land. And as far as what Donna, watching on Facebook, would take out of a house fire, she says, nothing. I am not attached to anything but God and my family. If they were out, I am okay. Everything else is just things.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, we had one of those pillows in our family that was in the family for many years. And so I tried to move it to the closet, and I told this person who was very attached to that pillow that it was in storage. And then eventually I let it go. But I understand how you can get very attached to that, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Jose is also watching on YouTube. He says, I have learned to detach from many things in my life. I have experienced so much loss that also I have learned to appreciate what I have today. So, Jose, thank you for weighing in on YouTube video stream, your comment there.
Okay, back to the phones. We've got to go quickly if we're going to get to Gina in Cleveland and Dorothy in Parker, Colorado. But Kimberly's up next in Buffalo, New York, Station of the Cross. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing great. Okay, so as far as your question goes, I would say it would be the family Bible. And the reason for that is I got that Bible probably right around the time I got married. It might even have been that gift. It was a huge, beautiful Bible that was given to me by my parents. And my father died when he was 45, so he died just a few months after I got married. Mm-hmm. And so it's just special to me, even though I'm not – totally, you know, reading it every day and everything. It's a special book. So I would say that would be the one item that I would want to run out of the house with.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's got multiple layers of special meaning. Obviously, the gift that it was, like you said, at the time that you got married. And obviously, it's the Word of God, you know. So a lot of people have lost things like Bibles and sacred things because they just didn't have a chance to get them out of the house. But it's beautiful, Kimberly, that you would do that if you had the moments to go ahead and do that. Deb, what do you think?
I think it just goes to show you your love that you have for your family, your dad, and the Word of God, because it just has so much, you know, meaning and depth for all of us, which it should. And I think it's really quite beautiful. Kimberly, thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm sorry for the loss of your dad. Can you give us his name for our book?
His name, actually, I just went to church just now and prayed the rosary. He was in my prayer for that. So thank you for that. His name is Michael E. Neal. And he died at age 45. He had me when he was 20, so that was real nice that he was able to give me away at my wedding and stuff like that, because it was right after that he passed of stomach cancer, so it went very quickly.
Oh, our hearts break
for
you.
You know what?
That's tough.
It's heartbreaking, but he gives me signs all the time that he's here.
Mm. Oh, good.
With a name like
my
Michael.
Family, my mom.
Yeah. Yeah, with a name like Michael, Kimberly, I'm sure he's if God allows it, he's definitely making his presence known in his ministry. His ministry work and his love for his family continues.
All right, Kimberly, thank you so much in Buffalo. If we were to get to anybody else, I think we would have to just probably cut him off in about 30 seconds, because we're going to hear that closing music in about that much time. Yeah.
Can we just mention, because Dorothy and Parker were saying she would grab her Bible as well, because it has all her family history.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Same. And Gina in Cleveland, Ohio said she would make sure the dogs are safe, get a dog pack, and then in your purse, which has the Magnificat, prayer books, and the rosary in it. I agree. You know what? Women's purses, or back east, they may call them pocketbooks, they contain everything, including the kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Carol, who's watching on YouTube, says, I would grab my Bible and my purse. They're always close by, so I would grab that and my poetry journals that I've written to the Lord since 2001. Also, a bin of my family photos, hoping everything would fit in my arms. Wow, fantastic. What a great, great conversation today about this.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for participating in this. Hope you learned something, and it really just made you appreciate the things that we have around us, our memories, our pictures, all the wonderful family items, and the sacramentals, of course. So thank you so much. And on Monday, Jerry, we're going to be talking about the crosses we carry.
That's right. Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me. And if you're carrying a cross, that means the end of that journey is crucifixion. So we're going to ask you, does your cross seem too heavy sometimes? Are you just really, really feeling the burden of your suffering at this time? Let's talk about that on Monday. Until then, have a most beautiful and blessed weekend. And St. Joseph, pray for us. Amen.